Blog Talk Radio.
At 7 p.m. for your listening enjoyment, and I'm here with...
Hi, Sheena. Good evening, everybody. My name is Dr. Billy, and this is my friend Sheena, and welcome, everybody, to our new show, Family Power Hour, and we're waiting for you to call. This show is going to be for everybody. We were talking about this topic this week. It's going to be about back to school.
Right.
And you have children, Sheena. So
yes.
How was their first day to back to school?
Well, I have a tween, as they call them these days. I have a tween, and she is starting middle school. So it's been stressful going in, but real smooth sailing after that. So it's been good. So far, so good.
And I have adult children, 34, 31, and my baby, 26. And the Broward University started today, so he went today to the school. And my baby, the 26, is in Granada, in St. Paul University, and he's taking the vet school. So it's the first time for us, and besides all the technical support that I'm terrified, that, and we hope we can deal with this. What's your experience? Were you remember? You still remember when you
started school?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, each phase, as you know, is different. Going into middle school is a little bit more stressful than going to high school and then college. College is full of excitement. But I think it's really important. Sometimes we forget about the parents of the children who are now going into school, or the adults who are now going to school, and how that impacts the parents, and how, you know, that can be stressful for them as well.
And so that's what we want to talk about. But mm-hmm. before, I see we have a lot of caller, but let's talk about our show. Yesterday, that Daria interviewed us about what we're going to talk about every Wednesday between 7 to 8. And let's talk about what we will talk about.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. We want to make discussions available about stories of the week, you know, stories like what's happening with celebrities like Miley Cyrus, or the story of the day, like today being the MLK's 50-year anniversary of his speech. We also want to talk about topics that impact families, about divorce, or how trauma might impact our families, or simply starting over again, what that means, and what do I do when... Okay, now I'm divorced and I have two kids, and what happens next? So it'll be a great discussion. We really are excited about having people call in, share their experiences, talk about what what you look forward to, what you've experienced in the past, and then hopefully everyone gets to learn from each other.
Yes, and when people are talking about their experience, every time you can learn from somebody else's experience, and we want to open it for everybody. And as you said, which we want to talk about marriage, divorce, and grief counseling, and pain, and trauma, and of course about parenthood. To be a parent today, it's not easy. I say it's a lifetime sentence, you know. It's never over. I know myself, with I have adult children. And especially these days, we want to talk about communication, about all the texting and all the social media abuse. And what you're doing with the children, how you can control, or how we set a boundary about to be a parent. Family not good. Don't come with a manual operating. And to be a parent, it's very, very difficult this time.
So if you have questions or comments, call us at 347-945-7246. That's 347-945-7246. You want to take a call?
Yes, and let's take the first. So, of course, I did something of a mistake because...
there you go.
Yeah, all right.
Hello, how may I help you?
Hello, good evening.
Somebody there? No?
We were just about to apologize the first time, and again, all the technical support, something I'm doing wrong, so I want to apologize. Let's
try that one more time. Hello, you're on the air.
No.
Okay.
Let me try again. Hello, good evening. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
good evening, and thank you for calling us. You are the first caller, and yes, you are. We
well,
hear you.
I am Lance Hellinger, and I know you both know me, and I'm calling because I wanted to listen to your show and find out a lot of good things about it, and I happen to not be near my computer, so I called in, and... I don't really have a specific question. I'm just excited, first of all, about the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King. I'm a big tennis fan, and they're celebrating that at the New York Open tennis tournament in New York, and they're talking a lot about it, so I think that's a great thing for America.
Absolutely right. And thank you so much you brought it. But let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You know, what do you remember it wasn't so long, go back to school. Can you tell us about your experience after the summer holiday and going back to school? Can you share your experience?
Well, you mean going back to high school or junior high school or college?
Whatever you want to. It's up to you.
Well, certainly, I don't think any of us really... We're ready to give up the summer vacation to go back to school. I certainly never wanted the summers to end when I grew up in New York. And, go back to school and have to make lunches. And I also had to make my father's lunch. So that was two lunches to make. I did well in school in all of my classes. And so once I got back there, it was fine. And I also was into athletics, so I look very much forward to athletics. I think for me, college was a lot more stressful than high school or junior high school. I wasn't stressed out at all in junior high school.
Why was so stressful?
Well, because I went to MIT, and MIT is a very difficult school. And I breezed through junior high school and high school with... very good study habits because I didn't need to study. But when I got to MIT, it wasn't so easy and my study habits weren't so good, and I found that very difficult.
It's a great story, but you remember one of the teachers that used to be your mentor, that you still remember him?
I certainly remember... probably the most I remember in terms of a mentor was my chemistry teacher in high school, Mr. Gross, because I was the president of the chemistry club. And
wow.
So I was my degree was in chemistry. So I just really got along, and he was a very young man who had only been out of college about 2 years. So
good to know. And again, it sounds that he lived a lot of pressure on you. And Lance, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lance.
We always remember you, the first caller, and we hope to hear from you again in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and have a very good evening.
Good. I'm going to listen to your show, if that's okay.
Of course. All right. We're going to try to open up the lines to the next caller. Hello, you're on Family Power Hour.
Hello, good evening.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we want to apologize about all the technical support here. And let's try again. Hello, good evening.
So tell me, what are some of your concerns that come up for you?
As a parent, I know that my children used to go because they was missing the friend. And I think the phone is ringing. No, I'm sorry. And the safety, and in every, I came from Israel, so in every year when the school starts, the teacher asks, what the expectation? My expectation was they're going to go happy and they come happy, and they need to do the rest, you know, because right now the system in Israel is so different from here, because here everything is credit and the system, is, as I said, it's different. But it was important to me that they're going to be go happy and they come happy, and they're going to try to know what's going on. And, you know, and sometimes when a child comes from school and say, "What? How was the school?" And the answer, you know, it's typical, good. What you learned? Nothing. What you did? Nothing. So I learned at the time as a professional to ask the right question, to ask a more specific question to know what's going on in the school. So how you handle your child?
You know, one of the things that I think about when I think about concerns for going back to school, I know that some of my clients, they have concerns because after they may have gone through a divorce or something. Now, mom doesn't know whether or not she should change her name, you know, back to her maiden name, because she doesn't want to cause, you know, confusion at the school. And I think sometimes there's so much anxiety gets built up when we as parents are, you know, trying our best to make the right decisions possible, so that our children can have the maximum amount of benefit. And it's funny, like, you know, you really don't know what the child is going through, but you're trying to do even the most innocuous thing to make sure that they have everything that they need. I see that somebody... Hello? Is somebody there?
Hello?
Hello, yes. Good evening.
Hi, welcome to Family Power Hour. How may we help you?
Hi, I wanted to speak into what the other gentleman, the first caller, was talking about, and the jitters and the different things that are happening with a high school student as opposed to a middle school student or a college student. I am an educator and a speech-language pathologist. I work in high school, and it's funny enough that we started school here in Florida last week. And one of the things that we've been talking about as a staff is how we can be available as educators to our students in building relationships with them. It's not just about the education, but about building the relationship with them, because a lot of the kids who are going back to school nowadays are having to deal with issues like divorce or domestic violence. And school has become now a platform for them to express themselves, or to as an outlet, really, to let all of this out. So as educators, we're having to deal with a lot of these stressors that these kids are coming in with.
Do you think that the school system is doing enough to help those children?
It's yes and no. Again, it's about the rapport that a teacher or an educator or a counselor is able to develop with that student. Because sometimes if a student opens up and says what's going on in the household, then there's help available. There's family counseling in the school system that's offered throughout the year where the student can meet with the counselor. There are also different agencies that they can be referred to for family counseling, where they can go in with the parent and sibling to talk about different things that are affecting their mental health.
Now, isn't it so that it's sometimes presented in the media that public schools, that the schools are ticking time bombs, and that the children are either in an unfriendly or dangerous situation, or the teachers are in similar situations. Do you find that to be true? I mean, just the beginning of school in Georgia, there was a shooting, and there's always a lockdown. Can you a little bit more about emotional reactions of your teachers and the students in the school system, in the school building, rather?
Are you there?
I think
we lost her. It was so long.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and we're sorry. Let's see. That's hello, good evening. This is Paul.
Okay.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Hi. Sorry, Daria chimed in, and then I missed out on the question that you wanted me to expand on, Sheena.
Oh, I was asking you about the ticking time bomb scenario that's kind of presented in the media, that the school system is an unsafe or dangerous place for children. And I wanted to get a more realistic view from you as an educator and what's really happening emotionally in those buildings.
Well, it's every day, just like going to a regular job, a regular 9-to-5 at an office, you really don't know what you're walking into. I mean, look at what happened, 9/11. These people weren't in the school system. They were in downtown Manhattan when all of this took place. So as in every setting, it's different. But I believe that as a Broward School employee, that the school system has gone above and beyond to prepare the staff and the students for emergencies such as what occurred in Georgia last week. So not knowing...
I'm sure that the parents do appreciate that, and as the anxiety is already there. So thank you so much. Thank you for the work that you do for the children of our state and other people around the country and the world who stand in that position supporting families. So thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much, and a very good evening.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Good night.
Good night.
Hello, good evening. This is the Family Power Hour.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How we can help you?
Hi, good evening, guys. First of all, I would like to say congrats on the new show.
Thank you so much.
Hope you guys have a lot of joy and a lot of listeners putting in their inputs and getting recommendations. And I have a general question. My name is John. I'm from West Palm Beach. I have two kids that are going to elementary school. One is going to attend fourth grade, and the second one is going to attend the second grade. And it came out about that the kids want us to give them a cell phone. And I wonder if any parents out there have kind of recommendation giving us about giving our kids a cell phone. If it's a
it's a great topic. What's your hesitation, sir?
Sorry?
What's your hesitation?
Because you know it is in today what's going on with the internet and the bullying online, the occupation, the kids occupied with the online issues of Facebook, YouTube, and whatever is out there. I wonder what other parents have any experience about giving young children a cell phone.
Okay, listeners, now John would like you to call in and share your opinion and your thoughts about giving children cell phones at young ages. I know with my young one, I'm really hesitant. My husband and I are hesitant to give her a cell phone, which is too much to her, you know, chagrin. She would love to have a cell phone. A lot of people in her school and her class have cell phones, but at this point we don't feel that it's important because she's always with an adult, so she doesn't have a need to call someone. You know, it may change later, but at this point she probably would be very unhappy to hear this, but at this point our position is she's still too young. She's a tween, you know.
John, you say that you're concerned about the internet. Your children using the internet at home? So how you can know what they're using at home when they pretend they're doing homework? What's the difference between this or the cell phone?
Well, you see, when you are at home, we can oversee where they're going, what they're doing, et cetera, et cetera. And we're afraid that we're going to give them a cell phone and they're going to go with it to school, even though they're not going to go use it during class. after school, they would be more occupied with the cell phone, going into the internet. So I wonder what is, but from another end, as you see, as in more mature kids, you know that if you don't have the internet connection in your cell phone, it's like being getting out of touch of being with the surrounding friends, because everybody today is online via SMS, text messaging. So we wonder what is the right age to give our kids a smartphone.
All right, listeners, if you have an answer to that question, call it and let us know what your opinion is.
Yes, and John, stay on the line and just listen. And at the end of the show, call us back and tell us what the decision, if you decided to give your children a cell phone, or, you know, when you listen to others listening, you decided that's definitely not. And the question, when you decided not, I wonder how you're going to explain to them. This is the 1 million question. That's how you can explain to your children that this is your decision.
Yes.
So we hope to hear you at the end of the show. And thank you so much. And have a very good evening.
Thank
John.
You.
And one more time, that phone number is 347-945-7246. Give us a call. Let us know when's a good age to give a child a cell phone. So let's
hello.
Yes, it's a new caller, so you can. Yeah, I did something wrong. So
hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Family Power Hour. Did you hear the question of the evening? Hello.
Hello.
Oh, the question of the evening is, how young or what age should a child have her first cell phone?
Good evening. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Good evening.
Can
good
you hear
evening.
Us?
This
Hi.
Is this month.
Do you have a question
Lady?
For us?
Yes, I
yes,
do.
Yes, how can we help you?
So, like the previous listener, I would like to congratulate you and really encourage parents to listen, ask questions, participate, and get excellent feedback, as I heard so far. My question is that I'm a parent of three young kids,
what
seven
age?
And a half, five, and three.
Okay.
Three of them started school last week. And how, as a parent, do you divide time, like the couple of hours a day you have between homework and play, and how do you do it with three kids?
I mean, can you tell her what the children age again?
Second grade, kindergarten, and pre-K 3.
And can we ask what you did till now? I mean, how you manage your time until now?
Until now, my baby girl was only in daycare. So now she's going to bring home some homework. So does the other two kids. So sometimes I run into difficulties how to really manage time well and how to dedicate the time to each and every child when you have about 2 hours a day max for that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Sheena, do you want to respond to this?
Well,
it depends. I think it depends what your house schedule. I mean, what time you're eating dinner, what time you're coming home. What time, that's how you can divide your time, which each one of the child by himself, or all of you as a family together. Yes,
and I think it's difficult to do it, to make the recommendation so generally, because every child is in their own program. They may have homework, they may not. It may be important to music lessons or some kind of tutoring program. So it really is difficult. You just have to trust your gut as a parent, and you know, and watch for signs of a child being tired or overwhelmed, and kind of make that adjustment there.
Yeah, if one child can be able to come home and do the homework immediately, one child needs just to take a break, you know, just play or eat. So you know your children the best and how you can manage. But the most important is to find the right balance your family. Before we can continue, I just wonder that for the other caller, that age you think, you have a small children, what age you think you should allow to give your children a cell phone?
Yeah, that was the question of the hour.
That's a very good question, since I have such young kids. And the funny thing is, believe it or not, today my second grade child asked me, Mom, when can I get a phone? He's
all
only
right.
Second grade.
Okay, and what did he say?
So that was,
and I have to tell you, you're going to hear that question every year until you finally make a decision.
So you
and
think
I
you
asked,
want to give your child a cell phone in this age?
No, I don't.
Why
see
not? Can you share with us why not?
Because he is at school, and then in aftercare, and then we pick them up. What's the reason to give them a phone? For what?
All right.
Good.
All
right. Yeah, I see. And how did you explain your child that you say it's N-O? You're not allowed
not
to get
yet.
A cell phone. Yes, not yet.
Exactly like I told you, ladies. Why do you need it?
Mom, everybody
why?
Has a cell phone. I don't want to be a different. I want like my friends. And everybody has a cell phone, you know. It's a time that if I need something, that's when I need a cell phone.
But
it's
you
a
know what?
Pressure.
Thank God, in second grade, kids don't have cell phones yet. So, but you already posed the question, which was very interesting, that was exactly the question of the hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, you asked me for that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for
yes.
calling, and we're curious how you can manage the time in your home. So we'd like you to share the future, how and what
yes.
you did with your children. It's going to be very interesting to hear from your experience, especially with very small children. So have good luck for the new year, and we hope to hear from you again.
Absolutely. Thank you, ladies. Much success. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You know, Dr. Bye. Billy, this cell phone issue is a huge issue, and sometimes we find lawyers find themselves in either, you know, I would hate to say we're in court for the one parent's right to give a child a cell phone versus another parent's right to say no, their child is too young. So it is really important that families come to some kind of agreement as far as age is concerned for children, what's appropriate and what's not. Because having this litigated or having that kind of added conflict between a father and a mother can be overwhelming. And then sometimes it creates a situation where the child is pitting one parent against the other. I mean, maybe
yeah,
you have
usually,
some experience.
Yeah, yeah, well, usually with the divorce cases, you know, one of the parents try to fight through the child, and
mm-hmm.
you know, even if you think that the child not allowed to get a cell phone because the other parents say no, he will say yes. There was something that the court can do, just you know, with the case of the small children, and say no matter what the parents say, but no.
Well. Typically, in the course of for the younger children, really, it's the parent that has a right to have communication with the child, or the child have a right to have a communication with their parent. The child speaking to their friends, you know, that hasn't, it's not seen or foreseen as to be a right. So if there's a communication problem where the child is in the custody of one parent and the other parent is complaining that his or her access to that child is being tampered with and they can't get to their child, the court might find a situation where a cell phone is used, but I don't see that very often. Usually the court will put their foot down and say, look, you need to work this out. This is the time he gets to call her and this is the time she gets to call him and finish business.
How much do court interfere between the parents regarding to the children? I'm talking not when the parents risking the children. How much do court usually interfere?
The court hates to interfere between a parent's right to raise their child And it's only in extreme circumstances where you find that the court has to intervene. And it's not interference, but just kind of stepping in for the moment to put some kind of structure or order in place so that the parents can move to the next step, you know. So judges hate to have to be the third parent and really put their foot down when the two parents who know the child and love the child should be the ones who are making, you know, everyday, day-to-day decisions about their children.
One of the things that remember that usually when the parents get in divorce, they forget about the children.
Mm.
The words through the children, and they need to take the children out of the picture, because no matter what, they're going to be the parents the rest of their life, and sometimes they don't think that's how the children. And it reminds me a story that one of the couple was, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. Every time the father is saying no, the mother used to run to her parents to get money and to buy, you know, to send the very expensive vacation and to buy very designer clothing. And you're right. Sometimes the parents don't think about the children.
So how often do you see that parents find it reasonable or acceptable or in the child's best interest to come see someone with your credentials to kind of sort out some of these tensions?
Yeah, if it's not a court that's sending the other parents to see someone, usually if one of the parents don't know what to do, and they stuck at the middle because they see. I'm talking with you, I'm just thinking about so many stories, and I'm going to tell you, Sherry, one of the stories, of course, no name, I'm going to change
of
the
course.
Story. The story, there was a couple from out there, and every time the parents used to go to the father would forbid them to see TV or to call the mother, and they were afraid to go to see the father, and he accused the mother that she forbid them to see the children. And when the children they refused to go to school, then she called me. She said, I don't know what to do. And, of course, we tried to get the Child Protective Service, and it was taking almost 2 years that we realized the father refused to see me. We were talking over the phone, and, as you know, doing a lot of sessions via Skype, so I Skype with him once. And I said, mm-hmm. I know that you have a lot of hate or your unfinished business with your ex, but think about your children, if your children are afraid to see you. And then I was forced him to see. I thought it's not going to be professional for me to see him, so I referred to one of my coworkers and to see. But usually when one of the parents don't know what to do, and they're very frustrated. So I think we have another
caller.
Yes. And again, I'm a client that me and
my that very often. Usually the court will
Hello?
Put their foot down and say, look, you
power.
May I help you?
This is the time she gets to call him and finish this.
How much do court interfere between the parents regarding to the children? I'm talking not when the parents risking the children. How much do court usually interfere?
The court hates to interfere between a parent's right to raise their child, and it's only in extreme circumstances. All right, we're going to try the next call.
Yes, when you call us, just turn off your radio because of the echo. We can hear you and you can hear us. So do you want to try again to get this call?
I'll try one more time.
Yeah, we have so many... And thank you so much for all of you. I know it's not easy to call and talk about your experience, but that's the purpose of this show.
Hi, are you there now?
Good evening.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Good evening, dear.
Oh, you can hear me. Okay, good. Hi, guys. I'm enjoying this show. This is wonderful. I wanted to give my little 2 cents worth about the whole cell phone dilemma, because I actually struggle with it also on a continuous basis. I did give my daughter, who was in now she's in seventh grade, but in fifth grade I broke down and gave her a cell phone, really because I felt like it was a social stigma that all her friends were doing it, and that's how they were communicating. I mean, they were no longer picking up the phone like we used to do, in, as my kids refer to it, in the colonial days. They actually communicate like this. They schedule play dates like this, and this is what, you know, this is the new thing. And I felt like she was getting excluded from things, and she wasn't able to participate. So I ended up finally, because that was the norm and what her friends were doing, I didn't want her to feel like an outcast, and I felt like that was really affecting her. But on the other hand, I do feel like because of the way it is in our society today that parents are losing control over what their kids are doing, like John had expressed. And my big regret is that I didn't limit how much time at the onset that she could be with her phone. So I feel like she's constantly attached to her phone, constantly looking at messages constantly, you know, I call it part of her body. I mean, she'll forget anything, you know, she'll forget to wear clothes, but she won't ever forget her phone. So, it has gotten to be to that extent. But we do require her to turn it in at 8 o'clock at night, and she can't look at it after 8 o'clock at night and has to be the charging station downstairs in the kitchen. And this way, you know, she does have time to unwind and go to sleep. But I now have a fourth grader who wants the phone and is starting the same arguments, and I still haven't made that decision yet either, having had that experience with my older one. So it's a tough decision, and I definitely relate to that big dilemma.
I have a question for you. Do you have all the pest codes to your daughter's phone? Do you be able
I do.
To...
Well, she's not allowed to. Yes, she's not allowed to use. Yes, she has to give us our passcode, but she's not allowed to put an actual lock on her phone. But she does give us her passwords that she uses for different websites like YouTube and all that stuff.
So, do you think it was too early, or do you think it was right on time?
You know, I think that because of her situation, it was the right decision because, like I said, she was being excluded, and it was a social stigma for her not to have a cell phone. And, it did affect her ability to socialize with her friends. Unfortunately, that was the people that she was around. I think in her situation it was good. I wish the only regret I have is that I didn't limit it from the onset. And now she is completely attached to it. You know, that's my only regret. But I think the timing was okay. If I had had the foresight, I would have definitely put limitations on her, you know, constantly having to look at it and constantly being, you know, with it.
So here's your answer for what you're doing next. You know, you just you said that you have a dilemma, and I think you have your answer what you're going to do with your other child. That's how you can limit it the time or how you can limit it to do with a phone. So I think you're doing a great job because sometimes parents want to be the children's friend. They forget the parenting role, and sometimes they want just to please the children. I think that you did the right thing, you know, because you're breaking down for your own reason, and even though it's any kind of boundary, how she's using the phone, she put it on the kitchen table, and this way you have any kind of control what she's doing and not doing. So
yeah.
Thank you so
much. But
you
know what she does? Kids are very smart these days. She deletes all her texts from the whole day, so I can't read it. So that was interesting. I used to read the text, but no longer am I able to. It's very interesting. That was my experience with it. I feel for John. I don't know when exactly I'm gonna let my fourth grader get one because my other one did get it in fifth grade, so I have to still make that decision. But on a totally different note, I just wanted to share a little tip that I have used in getting back to school. That has been very, very useful to me. I also have a little one who's now in first grade, and last year in kindergarten she had a very difficult time getting up and getting ready for school. And what I came up with about halfway through the year is every morning we have a race on who gets dressed first. and it got her going, and now she gets dressed and ready and downstairs very, very quickly. So for anybody else who has the problems that I have had in the past with getting kids motivated in the morning, and there's no prizes, it's just, you know, saying I win, and she wins 98% of the time, but sometimes she doesn't win. And that's okay, because you don't always win. But it's, you know, it's just a fun little game that we play in the morning, and it definitely works, like, unbelievably. So I wanted to share that with anybody else who has those problems.
Great idea. Can you share more idea, more experience? It's a great, great idea you have.
Thank you.
One of the things we hope this show can bring forth is, you know, sharing these great ideas and empowering other parents with these ideas when you're faced with a five-year-old who doesn't want to get up, doesn't want to go to school, and you hear this great tip and you implement it the next morning and win that day. So thank you so much, caller.
And you're
welcome. You're
welcome to call us again and give us more idea. That's and
thank
good luck.
You. I'm enjoying your show very much. Thank you for your show.
When you're going to say no to him or to her, that it's not the right time to give the cell phone. So I just wonder that, how strong you're going to be.
Yes, me too. I wonder too.
Good luck with this.
Thank you. I'm enjoying your show. I'm going to listen to the rest of it. And good luck to John on making this difficult decision.
Thank you so much. John,
okay.
We hope you learned from what other people experience. And I wonder if more people can tell us about their experience. We have more callers?
Yeah, I think I do. Let's see if we can click them on.
This is the purpose of the show because, you know, as much you can be a professional, just to learn from other people's experience, it's priceless.
Yeah.
You know, even as I'm doing what I do almost 39 years, and I every time I learn for other people's experience, and this is the purpose of the show, to listen to other people and to learn other people and just sharing the experience.
All right. Hello. Is there, you have a question for us?
Hello.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
No?
Yeah, and I can hear somebody there. Good evening.
Hi, this is Veronica from New Jersey.
Hi, Veronica. How are you?
How are you?
Jersey. How's the weather in New Jersey?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's a wonderful time in South Florida. How can I help you, Veronica?
You know what? I wanted to first say congratulations on the show.
Thank you very much.
I know her very well. I just wanted to make a comment as far as the cell phone, because I know that's a big hot topic going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 12-year-old who has a cell phone, and I guess you can look at it as a positive and a negative way. I guess it all depends on the maturity of your child. If you know, recognize that your child is not mature enough to have a phone. I don't really think it's the phone. It's the content that's in the phone. And I think that we should be having some conversations with our children to let them know what to look out for. Why are we so apprehensive of not having them have cell phones? It's not just, you know, having a cell phone and talking to your friends, but what are those conversations that we want them to be, you know, look out for and keep them alert? What are those, you know, provocative pictures that come across, or, you know, how to respect yourself while you're, you know, communicating, what not to post, what to post. And I think, you know, it can be good or bad. I also don't give my daughter an opportunity to have many social networks. I am logged in on my phone under her password, and I read a lot of things that come across, so I'm able to monitor. So she wants all these different types of social sites like Ask and Skype and Vod. You know, I just stick to Instagram, which is the new, you know, they say Facebook is old school, but they now Instagram is the new social media site. So I limit it to just one. And
Real smart mom. So tell me, what were some of the signs that let you know, okay, she's ready for her cell phone?
Is she mature enough to responsible to use to be in the smart way her cell phone.
You know what? And again, you know, I found that my daughter is very involved with. She's a dancer, and as she goes out to these conferences, they're having global conversations. She's taught. You know, she's had friends in California because of, you know, and in Florida and, you know, places like Chicago. She's been able to reach and build relationships with people that she would have never able have been able to do. She's been able to get, you know, communication as far as, you know, the next jobs or the next conferences. People keep her constantly informed. But again, it also is, you know, can have a negative connotation too, you know, if you do have, you know, those conversations that come across where, you know, it can be negative. I mean, it's a good and bad. It can be a positive thing, you know, as long as a parent is knows their child, is involved, consistently have conversations. You have to be real with these children. You have to let them know what is going on in the world at 12, because guess what? They'll probably tell you before you would even think that they know. So, and have mature adult-child conversations. Like, listen, this is what I want you to watch out for. This is what I want you to, you know, this is what's going on, and this is what I'm protecting you from. So, you know, just staying engaged with them and, you know, let them know what to look out for. And if you see that, you know, they're abusing it, hey, it's taken away. I mean, it's a privilege, you know.
So parent involvement is key?
Absolutely. You have to stay involved. I spot check the phone. Like, let me see your phone. You know, and I heard the other caller say she deletes it, you know, before she can get to it. Well, guess what? Sometimes I take it and I just look through the texts and make sure that the conversations are pure, you know, and at any degree, because I've had that initial conversation on how to respect yourself and how to have conversations, appropriate conversations, you know, I really shouldn't see anything that's out of line. And if so, you know what? The phone is mine. That's how I look at it. As long as it's being used positively and I'm monitoring it, you know, spot checking. And, you know, unfortunately, like the other caller said, you know, these kids, they got their ways of getting around the system. Just like, you know, as a lawyer, you know, people get around the system, you know, and you just got to be able to set the law, set boundaries, let them know that you're one step ahead of them.
You're talking about very, very important topic that we want. I mean, we're going to do it, I think it's this month or next month, it's the end of the month, about the social media
mm-hmm.
abuse. I mean,
yeah.
Yes, this is very hot topic. And you're absolutely right, but, you know, it's great that you trust you with your children. It's great that they can trust you and you have direct communication. But sometimes with a peer pressure for the other children, you don't know and when exactly what your children are doing. And it's great because it seems like you're not afraid to search, to look. Sometimes people, a lot of family said to me, it's a child's privacy. It's a child, you know, I'm not searching the room. I'm not getting in the room. What do you mean it's child privacy? You are the parent. You need to know.
Mm-hmm.
The child privacy is going to be when you're going to go to college, even then, or you're going to leave the house. But it seems like you know what you're doing. It seems like you know the boundary to be a good parent and not just a friend. And,
okay.
Yeah, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much for calling
thank you.
In. For your support.
You're welcome. All the best to you. I'll be listening in the future.
All yeah, right.
We
thank
love
you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
You're welcome.
You see, it's amazing how one topic have a different view every parent,
yeah.
is, you know, and parents try, I mean, every parent wants to do the right thing. The one of the mother called us to say she don't know what to do because the child deleted the texting, and there's no doubt she's caring about the children, but the parent wants to do the right thing. It's not easy to be a parent. Are you searching your daughter, in the bedroom or the stuff?
No, I don't do that. I don't like I need to. I have a real, you know, like the prior caller said, you have to be involved with your child and trust your child and make sure your child trusts you. And so.
And how do you build the child the trust?
Just being in relationship, being in touch, listening to the child is important, and making sure that they're heard. I think once anyone, whether there's a child or a parent or a friend. If they know that they're being heard by you, then trust is being built. Got a caller on the line. Hello, are you there?
Can you?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Welcome.
Excellent.
Family Power Hour.
I have been waiting. Not so much a question. I wanted to, well, I do have a question, but first I wanted to weigh in on the telephone topic. And I agree with callers who've stated that it really depends on the maturity of the child. And also I think something to consider is how you're using the experience of the child having their own phone to teach them responsibility, because it can be a distraction, right? Especially the phones today, that they're really computers. They're not just for talking to people. You can play games. You can communicate in other ways besides making phone calls. You can listen to music. There's just so much that you can do with these phones. And a concern that I have, my daughter doesn't have a phone, but a concern that I have is all of these distractions. And to speak to the question that I think Dr. Billy asked a previous caller about, how do you know when they're ready?
Right
now, my daughter has a tablet and she has a laptop, and these are things that she pretty much, most of the time, she uses them while she's at home. And so we can observe how she uses those, what kind of behaviors she exhibits, and we can teach her and coach her on being responsible and not being distracted with all there is to do with the tablet or with the laptop.
Man, can I ask you a question? How you can teach her? How can you explain to her? You know, she's a child. She wants what she wants because she has a friend at school. And so how you can teach her, how, because your experience as a parent, how and the right thing to teach her?
Well, I think the key thing is responsibility. So she's got homework, she's got chores, and one of the immediate things that comes up, or that came up, was spending too much time on the computer, having been asked to do something and it not getting done because she was playing a game or she was doing something on the computer. And so that presents an opportunity and we've had many conversations, to talk about managing time, being responsible. This is not a necessity. It's a privilege, a luxury, and you have to handle the things that are important. And then after you do that, then you can amuse yourself. And also be respectful of other people and things of that nature. So there's a lot of lessons that you could possibly teach.
Thank you so much, and have a very, very good evening. Good luck.
Thank you.
We have another call. Good evening. It's Family Power.
Are you there?
Hello?
All right.
Somebody there?
We lost them.
We lost him.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you see, it's really amazing that what time. I remember when my dad didn't have a problem with this because it was no cell phone. But it seems right now everybody has a cell phone. Everybody texting during the driving, and everybody has, just any kind of communication. And it reminded me, one of the family that came to see me, and they are living in a very, not a mansion, a very a big house, and the parents used to text between two of them and to text into the children. And I was wondering, how big is the house? So it was a two-story house, and so why are you texting? And the mother said, this way we're not screaming and shouting at each other. I said, when's the last time you sit at one table and every kind of conversation? And she looked at me like surprised. She said, we don't do it anymore. I said, what do you mean? Do you know how? And they tried to do it, and she said that it was very, they're addicted to the phone. Everybody just texting. And you can see it in restaurants, people just texting. And this has become like an addiction, like a habit. And I think that you need to set any kind of boundary, especially for small children. The parents need to see what they're texting, what they're doing.
Well, that's hard to do, Billy, if the parents are just as addicted to the cell phone as the child is, because it is overwhelming. In restaurants and, you know, even in court, that you have, you know, judges X-ing out the use of cell phones because, you know they're there. So that's really, it's really interesting how we have to be the role model as well and be mindful of not being a bad example with cell phone use.
Yeah, it's not just cell phone. You know, the parent that is smoking cigarette and he said to the child, don't smoke because
right.
It's not healthy.
Right.
And the child said, you smoke it, yeah. And as we say again, and we repeat again and again, to be a parent today, it's a lifetime sentence. It's not easy. It's not easy. And as well, I don't think it's going to be easier, you know, even in the future, because the children for now are very smart. They have
yeah.
access to all over the world, you know, that in my time, I remember I was telling the children, open the encyclopedia, just go. And now everything is so handy. If you want to find something, you're just searching immediately. And it's really scary, you know. That's I'm old school at my age, but it's really, really scary.
Well, what a wonderful hour we had.
So what we learned about this hour, let's talk about it. I learned a lot, you know. So what we learned about this hour, what we have this hour?
Well, we learned that we are really, this is a strong debate of over the phone. Cell phones, children, what's the right age? We have a various different views, and I don't know. I think I'm leaning towards the. It's okay to give them cell phones as long as they're mature and they, you know, give them some room to grow. Because you know what our jobs as parents is to set the groundwork so that they become a responsible adult. So hey, I think I've swayed to the other side.
Yes. So John, dear John, we hope you have the answer. What's the age to allow the children to get a cell phone? And if you have an answer and we'd like to know, we would really like to know that's what we did shared this hour. For all the people that listen to us, you can send us an email. What topics you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
What are you interesting to share or to ask or just to have a view? Because we learn a lot about other people's experience and the mother, they're doing the chase, and it's great. And let me tell you, dear, I'm taking this for my office. For I have a family I'm going to see tomorrow. This is a great, so even I can learn every time.
So you can tweet us at SBY's Law, or you can tweet Dr. Billy at Dr. Billy. You can also email us. You can email me at SBY's, W-I-S-E, at wiselawoffice.com, or you can email Dr. Billy.
Dr. B. Eisenberg at gmail.com. And of course, we're going to have soon a website.
Yes.
So you can share with the website. And we will talk again next week. It's let me just tell you, it's a Jewish holiday. It's Rosh Hashanah. So for all the family, they have I haven't seen a moment, right? It's a holiday dinner. We will be here, and we'll be open for everybody to ask any questions.
Yes, and we're new to tweeting, so, you know, be patient with us. We know that, you know, if you use hashtag Family Power Hour, hashtag Right Stream, hashtag Sheena Benjamin Wise, hashtag Billy, Dr. Billy, I think it'll get to us. We'll figure it out one way or the other, but we know you are, as our listeners, are there for us, and we appreciate it, and we enjoy it.
And thank you so much for your patience for all we struggle here with the technical support. That's why we needed the children. It's easy for them to know how
they can
to
figure it out.
and have a very, very good evening for all the listening, and I'll
see you next week,
and have a very good evening. Thank you so much, Sheena. It was great.
Oh, no, we can't hang up because